Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with John Rubino, founder and editor of thedollarcollapse.com. Now, John, look, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, especially in the US, and especially this week when it comes to political moves, and all kind of around this inauguration, which hopefully protests, riots don't break out again. The US has really dealt with their fair share of protests and riots over the last year, I would say. But the fact of the matter is, we can put this election behind us, I think. I know that there's still a portion of the population that wants to fight this election result, but it just seems like the world is moving on, and so is the U.S. political scene. They're moving on. We did get what you could call almost a blue wave. How impactful do you think this is going to be for the next at least 2 years before the next midterm elections for the markets and for broad U.S. policy?
Hey, Corey. Yeah, let's just get this election over with. Jeez. That's been going on for such a long time. And it's been, you know, we're kind of having a full on political nervous breakdown here in the U.S. because it's OK. The whole Democrats apparently cheating in a lot of places, and Trump refusing to leave, and, you know, the civil unrest last summer, and then the outbreak of civil unrest just now in Washington, D.C., you know, all of that is just feeding into a political... Oh, and social media censorship, where the big social media companies, which are basically, you know, corporate run now, are trying to extinguish the upstart, free speech oriented social media outlets. You know, so we've got all kinds of things going on now, all of which are disturbing. And it would be really nice just to get past it, kind of come to some kind of a conclusion on all of this stuff, and then go on to just the normal world where we're headed for a gigantic financial crisis, which is understandable and maybe manageable. You know, all this other stuff is too chaotic. Yeah. So anyhow, what more than likely happens in the U.S., and I stress that more than likely because we're still an unpredictable place, but more than likely what happens now is the Biden administration takes over. The Democrats have a, you know, tenuous but real control over the Senate and the House, and they start spending money, you know? So we get a big new bailout program for coronavirus that includes the states and localities that have gone broke because they mismanaged their pension funds, and bailouts for lots of other things, which means we're going to run a deficit of, let me guess, at $4 trillion this year, but it could be more. And we'll probably take on total debt of $10 trillion new dollars in the coming year. So basically, the thesis of the destruction of the world's fiat currencies is not just still in place, it's accelerating now, because we are increasing the amount of money we're borrowing at every level of U.S. society, as are a lot of other countries. And we're creating as much new currency as it takes to cover all that new debt. And so all the curves have gone parabolic, which means that if the thesis that we were going to have to inflate away our debt, you know, by lowering the value of our currencies, was valid a year ago. Now it's doubly valid. And that feeds over into gold and silver mining, really. You know, the gold and silver should go up in that kind of an environment, if this world makes any sense at all, which ought to be great for the miners. You know, as Doug Casey just said in an interview that I listened to like a day ago, the precious metal miners will be minting money in the next few years because they're going to be selling something that's getting more and more valuable while their costs really don't change. So the margins are just going to blow out. So, you know, once we get through all this political turmoil, we can get back to what is essentially an optimistic investment thesis that we're going to screw up our currencies and make a fortune in precious metals, you know, and I'm looking forward to getting back there.
Hey, John, in all fairness, though, people are making a fortune in almost every other market, or at least risk on markets. And one argument is that's because, well, there is so much money in the system and so much more money that is being created and is expected to be created. People are distracted. They're making more money in other markets. So why would that all of a sudden change in your eyes?
Well, the difference, you're right, that money's flowing everywhere and pretty much everything is going up. But the difference between precious metals and to an extent industrial metals and, you know, tech stocks or housing stocks or bank stocks is that the former are fundamentally cheap and the latter are insanely expensive by any historical valuation measure. You know, we have more stocks trading in the U.S. at 10 times sales right now than we did in 1999 during the peak of the tech stock bubble. So we are a bubble market again, but not every part of the market is in a bubble. I mean, if, you know, take Barrick, the biggest, stodgiest gold miner, but if they're going to double their free cash flow in the next couple of years, and they're already reasonably cheap in terms of free cash flow, then that is not a bubble stock, you know, compared to Tesla, that now has a PE ratio of 1700. You know, there's a huge difference between different categories of assets that are being bid up right now with all this free money. And the ones that are in a bubble have air pockets underneath them. So if there's any kind of a hiccup going forward, they could crater by, I mean, Tesla could go down by 90% and still have a PE ratio of 170. So that is objectively crazy based on history. Whereas most of the miners are, you know, they're pretty cheap. They can correct and get more valuable, you know, better priced. But they could also go up and still be fairly valued based on cash flow. So, you know, these are very different categories of assets right now. Yes, they're all being bid up, but some of them are being bid up for good reason and some not. So you really need to, especially in, well, you always need to make this distinction, but in bubble markets, you need to make it more aggressively than anywhere else. You need to be able to separate the wheat from the chaff because eventually there's going to be a big correction. And the good stuff will go down by 15 or 20 or 30%. The bad stuff will go down by 90%. So if you want to be an investor right now, you need to be able to separate those two categories out and stay in the good one and avoid the bad one.
Okay, so a couple of points here. One being, in all fairness, I've heard this argument that hard assets or other stocks in that category have been undervalued compared to the rest of the market for years, if not decades, and they unfortunately just continue to get more and more undervalued. And one point to your saying there about the miners, they are making more money. It is the different environment from, let's say, 3 years ago, where the miners, the price that they're selling a lot of their product is substantially higher. So they are building cash. But you even said if we're setting up for some sort of a crash in the markets, that doesn't mean that, let's say, metal stocks or especially precious metal stocks are going to pop when that crash happens. They also correct. So are you making the argument for having a larger cash position right now?
No, I'm making the argument for being overweighted in the stuff that will be hurt less by whatever kind of disruption is coming, because I think there is a big disruption coming somewhere just on valuation. And to underweight the stuff that is just going to get destroyed, you know, and to have some cash going into this, because assuming the really good stuff is going to get even more attractively valued if there's a correction, like, I mean, look what happened in March of 2020, right? Everybody got smashed. Gold and silver did go down, but they snapped right back. So in the environment that might come, you might see everything go down, but the really, really outrageously valued stuff might take a decade or might take forever to come back. Whereas the miners, because you can look at them and say, wow, this went from 15 times cash flow to 11 times cash flow. It was cheap before, now it's even cheaper. Let me buy some more. And the market rationally comes to that conclusion and jumps into the things that will tend to do better going forward rather than the stuff that was clearly in a bubble and nobody's going to touch it because bubbles don't immediately repeat normally. So yeah, nothing is invulnerable in a market that is probably going to be kind of tempestuous, but there are still good and bad things to be invested in. And then, you know, physical precious metals tend to weather these kinds of storms really well. They, you know, can have a brief drop during a stock market crash, but they tend to rebound right away and protect your purchasing power. So if you're worried about an immediate bear market, which I think in this year, you know, it's reasonable looking at interest rates going up. If they go up much further, that will crack the stock market. When you talk about being in cash, maybe what you should really be thinking about is physical precious metals that will tend to do better than cash over the peak to trough cycle that's coming. And because, you know, what we're going to do if there is a stock market crash or even a garden variety bear market is we'll just open the floodgates. You know, if we're borrowing $5 trillion this year, we'll make it $7 trillion or we'll make it $10 trillion or we'll, you know, we have the ability to make it anything we want to. And we won't accept an equities bear market that that can metastasize into another Great Depression. So you'll see the governments of the world just flood the system with cash. And in that environment, you know, to go back to probably the very first thing I said in this talk is you want to be in real stuff like precious metals and to an extent the industrial metals that go into solar panels and electric cars, because that's where a lot of the government money is going to flow. And you don't want to be in bank stocks and housing stocks because they're just too overvalued right now to protect you in any way, shape, or form from what's coming. So yeah, you know, it's not necessarily that you're going to make money every month of the next 3 years, but you end up with much more if you're in real assets, I think, than in financial assets going forward.
Yeah, we'll see how it all plays out, John, because in all fairness, again, these markets just keep on defying gravity. And with all this money printing, it is landing on in these markets in a wide range of sectors. And look, it's a great time to be kind of a day trader or a short-term trader and follow where the big money is going. On a longer-term sense, there's less investors out there that are investing for the long term, but I understand your argument, but man, oh man, we really need a general shift in sentiment from a lot of these investors that continue to focus on the broad averages and the sectors that continue to scream higher. And unfortunately, for the last about 5 to 6 months, precious metals have been largely forgotten, but there are other metals, base metals and battery metals, energy metals. Those have done very well. So again, I think you do need to be a little bit more nimble with your money because of just how much can change day to day, week to week, month to month.
Hey, Corey, but the whole nimble thing is tricky because these things happen very quickly. When market sentiment shifts, frequently you don't have a chance to make the adjustments that you're planning to make. You know, say I'm going to stay in Amazon stock until it looks like it's getting ready to crash, and then I'm going to shift it over to treasury bonds or whatever. That's very hard to do because by the time, you know, a correction turns into what looks like a crash, it's down by 60-70%, and you can't even sell it anymore. You know, nobody will take it off your hands. So you kind of have to just position yourself for what you see 3, 5, 7 years in the future and just be there because it's impossible to trade effectively in markets that are this volatile. So, you know, you kind of have to live with the fact that maybe you're wrong for a little while because the alternative is to be incredibly wrong and not be able to do anything about it. So anyhow, that's my take on trading to position yourself for markets like this.
Hey, fair enough. And it all comes down to the outlook. Do you think we are going to get a 50, 60, 70% crash, or is it going to be another quick correction and a buy the dip mentality or buy the dip strategy? It's tough to say, really impossible to say, but hey, everyone, make up your own mind as to where you see these markets going. John, it's great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time. I will post a link to your website below this interview, and I'll chat with you in another couple weeks. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Corey. See ya.